over 70 hours per week of Houston's best local sports talk. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 901 on ESPN 97.5. Sage Rosenfeld's going to join us in about 15 minutes. If you hadn't heard, the Aggies got a commitment from Walter Nolan. He is the number one recruit in the country. He is 6'4", 325-pound defensive tackle from Powell, Tennessee. So they got a guy, and Jimbo talked about it, getting national. Now the Aggies are going national. They're not just getting the best in Texas. Now they're going out. They've gotten Kenyon Green, who was the number three prospect in 2019, and then Shemar Turner, who was the number 14 recruit in the 2021 class. So Walter Nolan commits. Now, it's not done. Obviously, he's committed. But ask Jimbo about the recruiting and what it has meant to this team. And he answered, you know, the Alabama win, and last year you had to back it up. But also, you know, all this swirling stuff about LSU, Jimbo has been adamant that he is going to be and stay with the Aggies, and that certainly has helped too, and asked him about that as well.
No, it hasn't been at all, because like I addressed it right off the bat. I signed a new contract. I want to be here. I love this place, and I truly believe we can make this place be as good as anywhere in the country.
Honestly, I'm going to give you a chance to do a commercial here, but when you look at this, the people I talk to around the NFL, you know, my dad's been everywhere, and when I talk to football people, they've always, for a long time, talked about A&M, but then the money started really pouring in, the facilities. I mean, honestly, and John, you've been to places. The facilities are unbelievable. It's a great college town. There's no reason in the state of Texas that you can't win at the highest level you need to win at if you build the right way.
There's everything you need here. It's a phenomenal
everything
place
you need is there.
Wonderful people. People here are genuine the day is long. They love the Aggies. This town's a great place to live. You got Houston right there in basically the suburb an hour away from you. You have the things you need, but it's a wonderful life, great summer. And then the Aggie Network and what this school means, that's the ball. Not just in the education
that's
part
huge,
of it, everything
yeah.
Got, the genuineness of it, the athletes in the state, and now that we're able to brand ourselves nationally and go out and start picking guys like we're getting right now and add to this mix, it's been tremendous, and I can't be in a better place.
So, I mean, I think that'll answer some questions. If Jimbo now bails and goes to LSU, It'll look horrible. Never been coaches that have lied before. Bobby Petrino.
Ooh, that was bad.
Todd Graham. Lane Kiffin. There's been some bad coaching.
There's been some bad
coaching moves that you're like, you're shaking your head going, well, that guy, Nick Saban leaving, who said, I'm staying at LSU, and then bam, he's gone. And sometimes you have to, sometimes you can't. I mean, Kevin Sumlin Tom Herman, they were pissed at him here, because, you know, he told, boosters straight right to their face, no, I'm staying, I'm gone. You know, so that's, but Jimbo has been pretty adamant about this.
And it included a raise.
Yeah.
Of an already really high contract. I mean, the Aggies do this. They give raises quick.
Yeah, they do. Beat Alabama and you're getting a raise.
Oh, you immediately. How much do you want? For how long?
Yeah.
We'll guarantee it all. There's just no way he's leaving for LSU. That's not a big enough, even if you like it better, like what kind of jump is that? Enormous jump for you?
And
they just got the number one player in the nation at A&M.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal, too, because of that. It's kind of a big deal to not walk away from these kids that you're recruiting. And we say that all the time. Listen, some coaches are POS. I'm telling you. There's a lot of bad character. There just are. And, you know, but I remember remember how pissed off he was at, he was pissed off at John Lopez, because Lopez and Nick, mm-hmm. were both saying how it looked like Summey was leaving Texas A&M.
Wait, and Summey got mad at them, and then Herman did too.
Yeah, yes, yeah. yes. Because they were saying stuff about the locker room, because they were saying stuff about Summey leaving, and boy, was he pissed. He's like, I'm trying to recruit out here, and you guys are putting stuff out there that you don't even know. You don't even know what you're talking about, and that's a real problem. That is a real problem, and he got, and so Jimbo is fighting that, and Jimbo's still winning, picking up Walter Nolan. Walter Nolan, he must have sat across from him and said, I ain't going nowhere. I promise you I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying at Texas A&M. Otherwise, Walter Nolan, he's got every school in the country wants him.
Yeah.
Every school in the country. Georgia, Florida, Michigan, Tennessee, all of them, all over him. I'm sure Alabama would have taken him too, but maybe he just eliminated Alabama for whatever reason. But he picked Texas A&M. It is impossible for a coach who is got all this stuff swirling to get a kid to commit, especially the number one player in the country, unless you convince him that I'm staying.
This is a joke, Aggies. But what if Walter Nolan got on Twitter and said, man, I talked to Jimbo Fisher. I am super proud. I mean, he sat right in my living room and talked to me and said, there's nothing better. The only two schools that I should even consider are A&M and LSU. And so I'm locking in with him at Texas A&M. Like, wait, he told you that you should also consider LSU?
No.
Wait, hold on. What now?
No. No, he did not say that.
No, Jimbo, he didn't say that.
Jimbo did
joke.
Not say that.
So. I'm worried about this call.
Why?
Well, Gilbert wants to talk Texans. Gilbert has had some health scares as of late. He's been very mad at the local teams. He's also been predicting things fairly accurately. I mean, it's just a typical day for Gilbert.
Your death in 2027?
Well, he hasn't done that. I didn't want to bring it back up.
Okay.
He did that at a different station. I don't bring it up intentionally.
No, well, I'm just asking. That's one of his predictions.
I don't bring that back up because
he predicted the Texans would lose this week, didn't he?
I don't know if he got that far. I don't think he did. I don't think we asked.
Gilbert, did we ask you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, did we ask
you? I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Did we ask you if the Texans were
going to? I'm here.
What are you saying?
I'm here.
Huh?
Yes.
Gilbert.
I'm here.
Gilbert?
Yeah.
Can you hear us, Gilbert?
Yeah.
Gilbert?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Is Gilbert there?
Can you hear me?
Gilbert.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Gilbert.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Yeah. The reason why I call is that college should be careful when it is Stampede anyway. Who fought with that? The promoter fought anyway. And the second thing, the Texans, they go right straight to hell anyway, you know. And they don't know how to play a game anyway. When a new quarterback, he goes, get a full hamstring next game probably.
Mm.
Okay.
Now
hold on.
You got them going to hell.
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
You said the Texans can go straight to hell?
Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's right. You know,
you're mad. You're mad at them.
Yeah,
aren't
I'm
you?
Real mad at them anyway. Yeah.
He also, it took me a while to decipher this, but made comments about the Astro World Fest.
Yeah, what about
concert should have been canceled? I agree.
Yeah, that concert should have been canceled.
The Texans
he's got Tyrod Taylor with another hamstring injury.
Does he have it, or does he want it to happen?
Well, yeah.
Oh, is he going to get another one, or was that why, Gilbert? What?
He's going to get another one, probably. Oh, okay. Anyway.
Gilbert's prediction. Yeah, anyway, there's a prediction. Know. Another hamstring for Tyrod Taylor, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Dan. You have a good day. Keep the Eagles flying, anyway.
All right. We'll see you, Gilbert.
Gilbert. What? Am I here? Are you here?
Yeah. I'm here.
You
like,
played
yeah,
that well, over and over and over again.
No, he can't not, record you that fast. There's nothing he could have done. Was our mic?
It just seemed like you played that over and over and over again for whatever reason.
Aaron. I think Gilbert's trying to set me up now.
Aaron, nice job, Aaron. No, Gilbert probably did that. I'm pretty sure Gilbert.
No,
did.
Travis Scott didn't steal his bike. Stop. Twitch. Almighty. They can go straight to hell. Like I thought my care factor was Gilbert's care factor is still very high.
Uh huh.
For this team.
Oh no, he absolutely.
He thought that was a W. Is there a chance he lost money on that game and that's why he's a little fired up?
I don't think that's it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. You may be right. I don't know. Anyway, that was interesting. Another hamstring injury for Tyrod Taylor. That's unfortunate. And the Travis Scott thing. All right. Sage Rosenfels joins us on the
show. Oh, by the way, I was watching, you know, there's a lot more news on that. There's now 9 lawsuits out.
Yeah.
That's a tip of the iceberg.
Oh,
there's going to be substantially more than 9 lawsuits.
Yeah, and
I think there'll be in the 40s and 50s. Some of the 9
aren't
even people who passed.
No.
Right.
No.
There are other people who have had issues. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
No, this is going to be the... This is going to be one of the most litigated
death suits.
I remember as a little kid watching WKRP in Cincinnati with the whole Who. They had a whole episode about the Who. It's a fictional radio show, but a real thing that happened with the Who where people were crushed to death just like this, right?
Yeah.
It was the same thing. And the wrongful death lawsuits in this thing, this is going to be – this will probably change concerts forever with the amount of money that is going to come out of somebody's pockets for settlements. Somebody's going to be held liable, and I think concert promoters are going to have to change something.
Well, Travis Scott's history, some of the in 2015 in Chicago.
Yeah, when he told him to beat the kid up.
Yeah, it's
for his shoe.
He's in some
trouble.
Then
he told people to crash through the barriers and come, and he got arrested for that. Yeah, his history. I didn't realize it was 4 or 5 incidents deep.
Yeah,
where inciting crowds.
This is it's not going. This whole thing is not going.
I don't remember who it was on Twitter. I read that they were at a different concert a couple of years ago, and it was the crowd outside was rowdy like that, and they went and told the performer. The performer's like, "Not doing it. No, somebody's going to get hurt. You can give them people their money back. I'm not doing the show. Somebody's going to get hurt."
But that's
not
Travis Scott.
Other artists have already taken responsibility. Yes.
Travis wants people to rage.
I don't want this blood on my hands.
Yeah, Travis wants people to rage, which is his thing. But this is what happens. It's more video has come out that I've seen. If you search this video, you will be just traumatized. Oh, well, some of you, I wasn't pretty desensitized because I came up in the face of
Kendall
death.
Jenner got roasted. She posted a picture from behind the stage of her and
her baby with the earphone, the earmuffs of the
I don't know,
headphones on.
No, yeah. She just posted something and then she changed the caption and then they said take it down.
Don't post anything.
No,
you don't have to. This is what people don't understand. Travis Scott coming. I guess the media will say it's eerily quiet. You have an apology. People were on Drake because Drake hadn't said anything about, you know, hadn't apologized.
Well, the problem with apologizing is and taking blame for it is now the lawsuits come.
Oh, no,
well,
that's
you
what
already
lawyers,
took blame for it.
That's what lawyers are probably saying. Hey, you better be real careful with the. We need to see your apology.
Right.
Let us craft this for you.
Yeah, right. All right. Sage Rosenfels next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, Lance.
In the meantime,
Craig DeSurf.
I tell you about my friend Craig DeSurf over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. He's got some brand new offers out there for you, including, I'll give you one right now. This is for the Buick side. It's the 2021 Buick Enclave, which is the crossover SUV, and it's got superior styling. I've always thought this is one of the most stylish crossovers that you can find. Signature grille. It's got hand-free power liftgate, power moonroof, and the winged LED headlamps, which look really great. Every detail comes together to create tomorrow's midsize SUV for today's family. But here's the big kicker. Buick is offering $3,750 purchase allowance off the 2021 Buick Enclave. That's huge savings, $3,750 purchase allowance. Start shopping right now at the website lancezcars.com. Remember, you can always head out to Angleton and check out all the great vehicles they have in stock. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Head to the website to start the car buying process at lancezcars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, all-star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're locked into the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Yeah, originally when we had this thing, when we set this thing up, it was like, oh, we'll break down the Texans every week. It'll be awesome. Sage knows. Sage played. He knows. That's break down every play.
Let's make Sage watch Texans. Yeah, coaching them, tape.
Yeah. So, and it's
let's just do it as a goof.
It's no. It was we were. I know we had our hearts in a good place, and now our hearts have hardened toward the Texans. So who cares about them? Sage Rosenfels also is on in Chicago to talk about the Bears. Sage, did you see the penalty on Marsh last night?
I did, and I was just watching Good Morning Football on NFL Network, and they were just discussing it. I actually think it's the right call. I know it sounds crazy, but I do think it's the right call. And obviously there's the sack. He comes up and does the ninja kick or whatever he does. I think that was all fine.
That was pretty
cool. That was a great
kick.
It was an awesome celebration. I was like, oh, great
kick. That was a great kick. Cool. I mean,
yeah.
That kick was an amazing
roundhouse.
Kick. But yeah, walking to that. But my problem, Sage, is yes, he walked over a meme mug sidelines. That's almost always going to be a penalty. I didn't have a problem with that. I guess it's the timing. Why didn't Corenti throw the flag there? Why did he wait until after he was bumped? Because
he wasn't bumped. Corenti initiated.
Right.
He initiated the contact.
I think it's the timing of it all that makes it look sketchy, Sage.
So they went into that replay. They replayed it a couple times. And, yeah, so he does the kick, and then he goes and stares down the other team. And that's when the penalty, it's for a second or for a second, 2 seconds, I think it's fine. He went and stared down the other team, walked over to them in that direction for probably 5 seconds. And, you know, I think what the NFL is looking at is we represent football in general, all right? This is pro football, but we know not only college kids watch us, high school kids, middle school kids, Pop Warner football. They watch our games, and do we want 12-year-old kids, after they have a sack, going and staring down the other team on their sideline? That's what the NFL is trying to prevent, right? Because we all know, I mean, we all grew up and, you know, you catch a touchdown pass or recess, and you're going to do what you saw on TV. That's what kids do. So they're trying to prevent that sort of unsportsmanlike, type of behavior. I know it's not a gentleman's game, but there can be some class in it. And so when he walks over and stares down the opposing bench for 4 or 5 seconds, yes, it is weird as he was then sort of coming back that the official sort of grabs his flag. Looks like the official backs into the player, excuse me, and then throws the flag. So that was all sort of odd, but I do think he was going to get the flag either way by just walking over and staring down the other team. I actually think it's the right call.
Did you watch Texans? I mean, did you dig into it like you have previously? Did you see all the Tyrod Taylor issues with the throws, et cetera?
Yeah, that's what you guys came in to do.
Okay. Yeah, I know, but I didn't want to make you do it. We feel guilty about that now.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was all just a goof and kind of a joke, but now you're actually watching the games. And all right, so I want to ask you on a serious note. I just think sometimes you just have a bad game. Josh Allen had a very, very bad game as well. Tyrod had a bad game. However, how many more bad games do you need to see from Tyrod, or even does it matter before you go back to Davis Mills just to finish up your analysis of what Mills looks like before you move on to your draft strategy of 2022?
I do think Davis Mills, based off of that game, I do think putting Davis Mills back in at some point during the season would be good, not just to get him, you know, more reps to make him hopefully a better player long term. But yeah, as you said, sort of see what you got in him. And, I think Mills is a pretty good young player. I like a lot of things he did. Tyrod really played bad in this game. I don't have to say, if you just watch the game, you're like, what, you know, obviously that interception before the half was, I don't even know what to really say about that. That might be one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. I have no idea what he was thinking, no idea what he was doing. I don't know why he didn't throw the ball out of bounds. I don't know why he just didn't run out of bounds. None of it made sense to me. And he had some other plays in the game, obviously, that weren't very good. You know, they have a chance to tie that football game. They call a play action. And they get man-to-man coverage. It's deep posts and deep crossing routes. He's going to have somebody open on those. You know, it's sort of the perfect play, runaway routes versus man coverage. And he trips on the running back and takes a, you know, 8 or 9 yard sack. I mean, that is just really bad football. One of my big issues, by the way, in this game from a coaching perspective was that Miami continued to call cover zero blitzes. They probably did it 8 times in this game, and the Texans had no answer for it, no answer for the all-out blitz. And when you go into a season, you should always have answers for when you see a team all walked up in there for an all-out blitz. Sometimes that's a quick wide receiver screen or a quick sprint out just to get the ball to your hands, but, you know, change the protection, move the tight end, so at least the guy guarding the tight end you know, isn't right on the line, and he has to sort of go around all the linebackers and stuff, and then you snap it, and at least that's sort of the extra guy. Like, there are answers to when you get all-out blitz, and the Texans had none the entire game, sort of time and time and time again. And with a veteran quarterback, it wasn't like, oh, we got a rookie in there in his first start. We can't give him the whole menu of plays and the whole menu of audibles because – you just sort of don't, you know, younger guys maybe not be able to understand all that, but they had no answer with a veteran quarterback for one out, all-out blitz after another. And yeah, so, I mean, it was to me, it was a very ugly game, not only from Gerard's perspective, but also from a play caller's perspective and a play design perspective and a sort of coaching perspective. But, and then just honestly, really bad offensive line play. Really bad. I mean, guys, defensive tackles unblocked, defensive ends unblocked, obviously safeties unblocked. It also seems like when it was Nala Blitz, Terod didn't know which was going to be the guy that was going to be free. Like, you'd like to know, okay, it's all, you know, they're bringing the all, but I know I'm going to take a hit, but I know it's coming from the left side, so I can sort of maybe move to the right side as I sort of fade away to try to find some sort of completion. It didn't look like to me he necessarily knew where the extra guy was. And so you're really, really an ugly performance all around by that offense.
Yeah, I think you can just say that every week. I don't think you really have to watch anymore. You can just say that same thing. Bad offensive line play, bad quarterback play, bad running game. The offense just sucked. I think you can, we can just package that from now on, Aaron, and we don't need Sage to actually watch the tape anymore.
Well, no, I actually enjoy even bad football. I enjoy watching. Of course, you get to watch Miami too and the other team, and you get to sort of get a feel for, you know, when else am I going to watch 2 1-7 football teams play? So it is nice to sort of know what's going on around the league, and it is tough for me because, you know, this Texans, you know, organization, you know, is important to me. I spent 3 great years there and had great memories and great friends still living down in Houston. And to see how far they've fallen and sort of continue to fall and just bad football. I mean, really bad. The fumble by the Aikens at the end as they're trying to work their way back. I mean, just sort of one terribly timed to play after another, and it's a bummer for me to watch. I'm sure, obviously, as we talked about last week, for Texans fans who I think are, you know, though it's a, you know, young organization, 19, 20 years old, is, you know, they've been great fans and a fan base that has grown from scratch, and now it feels like is probably starting to not wanting to go to the games. It's not good football. It's not really well coached, in my opinion, and it's obviously not well played by the guys on the field.
No. All right, let's break down the rest of the league. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. With
or
Sage
bad
Roosevelt.
Stuff to talk about.
Well, yeah.
Historically bad quarterbacking play from great quarterbacks this week that we need to get into.
Absolutely. Right now, though, we got to talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patios is historically great patio. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com and go look at the before and afters. Go look at the befores because it shows you backyards that may look similar to yours in terms of the layout or the structure. And listen, these patios are being built at just normal houses just like mine. I got like a 2,400 square foot house. It's not anything huge or special, but they took that house and they built and designed a patio that was built onto the actual framework of my existing home, and it looks like it was built there from the very beginning. It's amazing what they're able to do, and they want you to have the same thing available to you. They have financing available so that you can get literally the outdoor living space of your dreams. You can get the TV set up the way you can do multiple TVs. You can do a fireplace. You can get the perfect kitchen put in there. They'll even do pools, freestanding patios as well, freestanding pool houses. So much that they can do to upgrade your house and turn it into a home and add value. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked into the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Sage joining us once again for another segment here. Let's talk about, oh my goodness, Sage, Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes, but Derek Carr, he looked bad. It was really good quarterback after really good quarterback that just looked bad this week. And Lance had mentioned it, maybe some of the worst quarterback play out of great quarterbacks that we've seen in some time.
Yeah, it wasn't a great play for quarterbacks.
Josh Allen.
Great week for quarterbacks. Obviously, a lot of interceptions, a lot of turnovers. And when you look at quarterbacks, that's probably the number one thing that matters most. I know we love to get into completion percentage and yards per attempt and, you know, all these other things. But yeah, did he turn the ball over or not? And, you know, there's statistically, if you go through a game and you don't turn the ball over, as an offense, you're no matter how inept your offense is, you're actually going to win a lot of football games. And all these veteran quarterbacks who are normally some of one of the better ones in the league, just too many turnovers. We obviously saw Stafford's the other night, and you know, a terrible interception inside your own 5 yard line, and he threw a couple of picks. And you know, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing a really good football. Pat Mahomes is just, in my opinion, trying to push the ball down the field too much. I feel like when he drops back, he's trying to score 14 points on every pass play. When you go into the actual film of Kansas City, one, they don't run the ball at all. And I don't know why, because running the ball does just make the job easier on the quarterback. And I know Pat's making $45 million a year or whatever it is, and he's probably the best, one of the best players, if not the best quarterback in football, but you can't make the job hard on your quarterback and ask him to do everything because he's just not going to be as successful. He's going to turn the ball over. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to miss throws from time to time. But when you watch their film, you know, he is trying to push the ball down the field a lot. He's waiting for guys to come open instead of just taking his checkdowns, taking his underneath stuff. Hey, they're playing deep. Let's hit that underneath burst route to the running back who's coming out of the backfield. Might be a nice gainer. So it's not a big play. And there's other aspects where, you know, those guys would be open underneath, but he'll try to sort of run outside the pocket and throw a ball deep down to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, they've had so much success with that type of style of offense of, you know, sort of execution based, but really it's like Pat Mahomes making things happen out there. And I think that's sort of gotten Kansas City in trouble. And of course they won this football game against the Packers without Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, Pat did not play, you know, great in that game by any means and didn't throw for a lot of yards. And I just feel like they're asking him to do too much. And it's hard in the NFL when you're asking your quarterback to do everything. It's much easier when they're part of the victory and not the main reason. Week in and week out, it's why your team wins and loses.
Yeah, but the weird thing is he's done it in the past. Like, this isn't new. This is something that has been asked of him, and he's just wildly – this is two straight games, Sage, where he is under the 6 yard per attempt mark in football. He has 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions over his last 3 games. I agree with you. The offensive line is better suited to run the ball than it is to pass protect. But I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Andy Reid can make the necessary changes, and then can Pat Mahomes and the offense execute them? Or is this just a situation where, you know, I don't know. It's too drastic a fall off for this to just be some kind of just glitch in the matrix. This is a major, major issue for one of the most explosive offenses that we had seen over the last 3 years.
Well, when you look at an offensive team, it obviously sort of starts with the quarterback. Who's the guy at the helm? You know, you'd like to, we like to talk about it, media people, you know, the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs, because, you know, that, those are the guys who sell the trading cards, right? But actually, other than the quarterback, the offensive line, in my opinion, is the most important aspect of an offensive football team. And they have five new guys this year. They got rid of everybody along that offensive line last year. And that's, even though Andy Reid's like an offensive line guy, and, you know, of course, Mahomes can make up for mistakes along the offensive line, that is a really, really hard thing to do, is to completely start over with an offensive line and have those guys just gel perfectly throughout the year. I also, you know, their style of offense, and this is sort of a bigger conversation to that, so RPO versus not RPO versus, you know, under center shotgun. I am a believer that quarterbacks play better when they're under center more. I know it sort of sounds, you know, it's easier to be in shotgun, all those things, but, you know, the running game suffers in shotgun, the play action game suffers in shotgun, the bootleg stuff suffers in shotgun. Also, when you have to look down to catch the ball, a lot of times you miss things that are going on with the linebackers and the secondary and their sort of post-snap movement, and you miss that when you have to look down for a half a second. You know, they're one of those teams, the Texans are too, very much under or in shotgun a lot. A lot of these offenses are, and I feel like it's, again, it sort of makes the job harder on the quarterback, because starting off, you generally just don't run as well in shotgun under center because of the angles. You know, you got to realize if you're a quarterback and the running back is off to the side of you, say to your left, when you're running, say, an outside zone to your right, you know, he is behind the play in a sense, right? He's trying to catch up to the center. And so it's going to be hard for him to really get to where he can bounce it out and press the edge. When you're under center, he is now even with the football the entire time, and he now has a chance to either bounce it or cut it back. But when you're in shotgun and you're off to the side, it's more of just, you know, north and south or cut it back. You can't really capture the edge. And so I think that, again, hurts the running game. And when your running game's hurt, that hurts the play-action game. You know, the ball's not out there with the fakes nearly as much. I mean, you guys remember the old days with – myself and, of course, Matt Schaub.
Boot action.
The bootleg and the play action stuff, man, get guys wide open. When you're in shotgun all the time, those play actions just aren't nearly as effective because the run's not as effective, and also the actual action isn't as effective.
Completely different. There's so many different changes to it, and you're right. It does. It fundamentally limits. And there's a lot of running backs who need to be downhill backs, just like the Derrick Henry. They got the long legs, and they got to unfurl and get downhill and get the momentum going. You can't really do that from an offset position. I want to get to.
Go ahead. In this one, in that Texans game, I believe the first interception was because of, I think it was one of those sort of RPOs, right? The run pass options where he could have handed the ball because the lineman sort of went downfield and sort of came back. And there was a safety completely unblocked, but the rules of the play for Tyrod Taylor was, hey, in this look, you're supposed to throw the corner route, and, you know, he throws the corner route, but he doesn't have time because he's getting pressure and ends up making a bad throw. So there's a couple things that go on there. I feel like if you're an offensive lineman or you're a tight end and the coach calls a running play and it ends up being it's an RPO, but it ends up being a passing play, it's sort of confusing, like, what play are we running here? It's nice to know, hey, we call a running play, we're running the ball. Like, we're running the football. And not only that, is, let's just say the ball is thrown, it could be knocked down at the line, it could be dropped, it could be a bad throw, it could be broken up by the defender. The defense may never have to actually tackle and play the gaps in the running game, so they don't actually have to do the hardest stuff. And as well, if the player does catch the ball and they possibly fumble, no one is ever around except for the defense because everybody else is running the football. So I've noticed that too over the last couple of years. You see a lot of these RPOs and you see it slam the backside, then you see a fumble and no one's around. And I just sort of think over the I think RPOs are a good wrinkle. They're not a good, like, this is what our offense is. And I imagine if you're an offensive lineman, you say, hey, we're going to run zone block or we're going to run power to the right. Dang it, that's the play we're going to run. And I feel like that just sort of gets everybody more on the same page, and you end up executing at a higher rate in that style of offense. And at the end of the day, quarterbacks play better.
Who's the best team in the AFC?
The best team, and well, it's a mix, right? I mean,
yeah.
Tennessee. You hate to say Tennessee because they just lost like their best player, you know, really like an MVP candidate with Derrick Henry at running back. They put Adrian Peterson there off the street and played okay in that game. But for them to get that win, in a tough environment on the road, you know, and against one of the best teams of the NFC. You'd like to think the Tennessee Titans at this point, just because of you go on the road, you win a big game without your best player. I think that the team you sort of have to go with. I mean, their D line is absolutely dominant. Their secondary has some issues, but their D line is dominant. And I like their offense, their style. Tannehill's not a great quarterback, but he sort of does his job. He knows his limitations. He protects the football. He knows when to take his shots. That's one of the better teams. I would have liked to say Buffalo is one of those teams. Always had a really good defense with McDermott up there, obviously with Josh Allen and the crew. But man, you go and lose to Jacksonville and score 6 points against the Jaguars. That makes you sort of scratch your head a little bit.
Manning curse.
The AFC is definitely a crapshoot.
The Manning curse. Guys, have you seen like this started off as a joke and now I don't know how you can keep joking about it. Have you seen the Manning curse? Have you seen what exactly is going on there? This is the Manning curse tracker. It was a day ago. Here are the players who have been on the Manning show during it, Monday night broadcast. Week one, Russell Wilson. Next week, they lost to the Titans. Travis Kelce. Next week, he lost to the Ravens. Rob Gronkowski. They lost to the Rams. Stafford, they lost to the Cardinals. Tom Brady, they lost to the Saints. This week, everyone thought, okay, the curse finally comes to an end. Josh Allen. Josh Allen goes on the road and loses. It's the biggest upset loss since 1966 for a road favorite team. 15.5-point favorite on the road. It's the biggest loss since 1966. And the Madden curse of Monday night, when you go on the Madden cast, not Madden, I'm sorry, Manning cast, these guys are all losing. They go on the Manning cast. Everyone thought, well, there's no Josh Allen going to Jacksonville. It ends now. That was a Manning buster, and it was a, I would imagine, suicide pools got obliterated.
The Cowboys losing
yes.
to Denver
yeah.
and the Bills losing to Jacksonville, suicide pools, like 80%
right.
They were destroyed.
I think nobody wants to play Baltimore, by the way. I mean, I think their style of offense is hard to defend. Lamar Jackson, he is becoming a better passer as time goes on. You know, there's this old phrase, like, you can't just become a more accurate passer over time. It's like becoming a better shooter. But I do believe, because like, I became a better passer in my career as time went on. And more and more reps, more and more throws, more and more coaching, more and more timing. It's all football all the time. Off season, he's becoming a better and more complete quarterback. And, you know, he led the team in rushing this year with 120 yards. I think Baltimore, you're talking about teams in the AFC. So hopefully Lamar doesn't go on the Manning cast anytime soon, or else there might be one of those teams that missed the playoffs before you know it.
That's Sage Rosenfels every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage, as always, we really appreciate it, man.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Good talking football with you. Time to talk HRP. News of the Weird is coming your way next. And then Charlie Polillo. That's not weird. That's Charlie. Here's what's going on right now is HRP. I was with Kevin Robler the other night. We're going to have a nice we've got a nice new client coming in that is a client of HRP, and they want to talk up the praises. You might have heard my buddy Chad on here. You've heard Chuck Watson on here talking about HRP. These guys are big businessmen in this city, and they love what our HRP does for them. You will love what HRP does for you. We sing their praises at every day here at ESPN 97.5 because they make our business so easy to run. They make it so easy to take care of HR. They make it so easy to take care of the payroll, the taxes. They work with us on the benefits packages, but they give us options. They don't force us to take their benefits packages. And that's what the other payroll companies do. when you're talking about small business companies. They're just trying to gouge you as much as they possibly can. HRMP ain't doing it. I'm telling you, they're not doing it. So if you're looking for a payroll company, you want something different, you need something different, your payroll company ain't cutting it, or you're tired of doing it yourself, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. It's no secret. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, Joe Biden, our president, President Biden, has been all about LGBTQI plus rights, right? I mean, he's, yeah.
Right.
He really has been.
Okay.
Well, there is an anti-gay pastor, a Nigerian bishop, who has told Joe Biden that he needs to take a man as his second wife to show that he's really behind the LGBTQI plus rights. Do you think Joe Biden should take a man as his second wife?
Wait, what now? What happened in the story?
An anti-gay pastor says, oh, really, Joe Biden? You're all about LGBTQ?
Oh, I see.
Well, then why don't you take a man as your second wife? Do you think Joe Biden?
I don't think he has to. I don't. A second wife?
Yeah. Yeah, he should take a
Isn't
man.
Isn't that considered polygamy? I watch Big Love. I don't think
well,
you're supposed to.
Well, does he have to marry the guy? That's the question.
Wow, it's second wife sounds like
yeah, right.
That's a marriage.
Right, right. Well, in Nigeria, can you do that? Or
I can't speak for Nigeria.
Well, you speak Nigerian, though. I heard you.
I speak with an accent. Yeah, yeah. From watching documentaries. Yes,
yeah, I'm classically, Del's dad.
I'm classically trained.
Right, right. How would this
sound? In Nigerian accent.
How would this sound? From this.
I'd love to, but I got a head cold.
Okay.
If it wasn't for this head cold, I'd 100% do it.
A Davis County, Utah man is in some trouble.
Okay.
Apparently, his father brought him home the wrong chicken wings. So he went and got a gun and shot at him.
But we are seeing family strife manifest itself in gunplay a lot lately.
Do you think Snacks at any point would be pissed enough?
He loves
would he
wings.
Be pissed enough at you to pull a gun and shoot at you? The father was begging the kid, don't shoot. The kid, and he goes, okay. And he ducked, and the kid shot.
Based on food, if I gave the fatty part of a steak to somebody else, it already infuriates him. It already infuriates him that mm-hmm. we shared a tomahawk with another family.
Right.
He was infuriated.
If he had a gun at that point, do you think he would?
Yeah, we got to keep that out of his hands, yeah. Because
yeah.
There's nothing he likes more than charred steak fat. Like, literally nothing in the world. So, yeah, I could see a place where I could see a food element where gunplay gets involved from Snacks. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Not any of the other kids, only him.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Apparently, a giant load of condoms was stolen from a parking lot in Ontario's Oxford County. Would you buy condoms from a guy that's selling him out of the trunk of his car?
Trunk condoms?
With Canada license plates.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
You would?
I mean, if they're substantially less than what you get them. Where'd you get these? They fell off a truck. Don't worry about it.
Right. And
I mean, it is. Yeah. I wouldn't even have any idea what the cost of a condom. What's the cost? $5?
Why would you need a condom?
I don't know. How much does it even cost? How would I even know? I don't even know what the cost would be. Well, I mean, I guess if you're getting a really great deal, you could ask them to pop the trunk and you can see, like, do you have right. watches too? No, just condoms. I guess I'll take a 3-pack. I don't even know how that would work. You see how many kids I have? Why are you asking me this question?
Yeah, I know. See, you don't know anything
about
condoms.
Why are you asking me this question?
You don't
no
know.
No idea what it costs.
You don't know. You just don't know. How about
that's like asking the Jenners, hey, how much does a gallon of milk cost? I don't know, $26?
No idea.
No idea.
Okay, how about this? Snacks doesn't do his homework. Would you give the pet dog, your dog, to a shelter to punish Snacks?
No, that's my dog. My dog would know what I would do, though, is let my dog sleep in his bed and make Snacks sleep. Not in the shelter, he couldn't fit, but on the not in the kennel, but on the floor. I would say, okay, Splits, get your bed tonight. You sleep on the floor.
You he would gets make, your bed. Well, this couple is slammed because they gave the pet dog to a shelter because their kid wouldn't do homework. I mean, kids can do homework now.
Hey, I always say this. Those deterrents, they work. They work. Deter.
Yeah.
Deterrents tend to deter.
So it's a fresh one.
That's called a deterrent.
That is
whether people like it or not, that's called a deterrent.
Sorry. I don't care if you like it or not. A fresh
one. Do you
one.
Want this to happen again? No. Looks like it worked then.
Apparently, a man in Cairo, Egypt, was shocked to see his wife without makeup, and he has asked for a divorce. Have you seen your wife without makeup?
My wife doesn't wear makeup ever.
No, she doesn't wear makeup.
No.
So this, you would not get divorced because...
I'm good on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I see my wife.
Now, I've seen it before on other people, and I could see where that would cause some strife.
Right.
He must be newlywed.
Yeah, I think so. Man, this is the first time you've seen her without makeup, bro?
I mean, the first time?
Yeah. Maybe it was a little jarring.
Remember Marvelous Miss Maisel when she's waking up in the morning before she... Yeah. She has an alarm go off. She gets up real quick to make herself up before she goes back to bed.
Yeah. So that nobody sees her. Yeah. A man was busted for cheating. His sexts synced up to the family iPad.
Oh.
Is this not one of biggest, dumbest mistakes ever?
1 minute story. I know somebody who was catting around. He's not a good friend. It's not somebody, but I know this story because we were in mixed company having a conversation, and this guy told the story. He had been catting around with this girl who he was seeing on the road. He had pictures that were on his own phone. His phone was synced to the Apple
iCloud,
and he said his wife is talking to him. He was watching a show off his phone. Then it goes to the screensaver, and the screensaver's automatically, which he didn't even know this, it's on pictures and it's rotating pictures.
Oh.
And she's talking to him. He's like, oh my God. And he sees a picture that was sent to him. He's like, please don't turn around. Please don't turn around. He's like, yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he reaches and he grabs the phone and immediately like disconnects it from the Bluetooth of his iPhone. He told this story. He's like, it was horrific sitting there looking past her like, oh my God. Oh my God. So
the moral of the story is, don't take pictures.
No, it's don't cheat, John. Not don't take pictures.
That's right. And time to talk about, you know what you
don't
should do?
Don't watch stuff off your phone and stream it onto Apple TVs.
Here's what you should do, is you should get a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light because it's the world's most refreshing beer. If you're looking for the best way to have refreshment, okay, usually, you know, you're going to get a glass of water or lemonade. You want to be refreshed, right? Iced tea. A sweet, nice tea? No, Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. It's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It's the official beer of playing golf today. It's the official beer of watching the game last night. It's the official beer of just hanging out with your buddies. It's the official beer of playing poker. It's the official beer of everything that I do. Make it your official beer. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. You're looking for the world's most refreshing beer? Of course you are. Why do you not want to be refreshed when you're drinking beer? It's Coors Light, baby. Climb on, brother.
Bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5.